me tell you what being a man is about. If you were born a male lion cub, you'd have a chance of only 1 in 8 to start a pride of your own, because your other 7 male competitors will die of starvation, broken spines, or loneliness. And if you were a male zebra foal, the alpha males of your herd will try to drown or kill you in their attempt to take out the competition early. And if you are a male calf born in a dairy industry, you will be killed off at an early age for human consumption without ever spending time with your mom. This is the fate of men. This is our purpose in the universe, to devour or be devoured.
Now that's pretty sobering, wouldn't you think? Hello, this is Clint Locklear from Man Strong. And what you just heard was the truth and reality of life about being a man. Guys, it's not easy. It is not easy. There's a reason why men have much higher suicide rates than females. There's a reason women didn't want to vote because they knew there was going to be in a draft, because they saw generational death from wars that men died in. They saw how rough the working conditions were when men built this country, built the structures, built the roads, built the railroads, built the hydraulic dams. They built all of that. And women instinctively, I think, know, no matter how big of a feminist they are, they pretty much get their way because they got a vajayjay. They just got to bat their eyes. They just have to smile. They just have to smell kind of good. They just have to flirt a little bit, and they're going to get their way. That is the complete opposite of how a man gets his way. You either conquer or you're going to get devoured with other men. Now, I know moms do not like hearing that, and that's just tough. That's the way it is. That's tough. The world is tough. You want to know why kids are so screwed up now when they get into college and out of college? It's because they've been babied and coddled and stroked, and they've never been uncomfortable. They've never had to struggle. And then when you get out of the womb of your parents or the womb of a college, the stark reality is you either conquer or you're devoured. You can have all the philosophies of what the world should be. You can have all of this stuff in your head. It doesn't matter. Reality always trumps feelings in the end. We just had an election. Eventually, reality is going to trump the feelings of the weak-minded in this country. They're going to get what they want, it looks like. I don't think they understand what that means, but look at Venezuela, look at Cuba, look at everything else. Now why? Because people go, I just don't understand how these people can vote this way. How can they vote for a dead man in Pennsylvania and him still win? Because for one, they don't do any research. It's like a football game. It's your team or my team. They voted for a guy that just had a stroke that is worse off than Biden, who can't speak. You've got to have everything in writing for him to halfway understand it. Then you have no idea what he's saying because he's for abortion one sentence and he's against it the next. I'm not making fun of the Fetterman. He has no place to govern other people. He needs to be taken care of. But he won in Pennsylvania. See, when you, my theory is when you raise kids to be so soft and mentally squishy the way that we do today, all out of love, which is irrelevant to reality, but all out of that love, they try to find that in regular life. Now, who promises them that? The mean Republicans, where you pull yourself up by the bootstraps? Oh, hell no, they don't want no part of that. They want to have someone that's telling them they're going to, you know, help pay for their college, help get them housing. Their medical bills are going to be cheaper. They want someone to take care of them. And one side of the political aisle is very good about convincing people that they will take care of them, even though they don't. But the promise there is still the same. And if you're weak-minded, you're going to believe it. It's either you conquer or you're going to be devoured. You want to know why 80% of small businesses fail? It's going to boil down to they don't understand conquer or be devoured. They don't. Now, you don't have to be mean, rude, aggressive in business, but you better damn well be able to compete. And you better be able to compete hard. Because there's somebody out there that's willing to do it, and they will eat your lunch every single time. Because warm fuzzies don't run a business. Warm fuzzies don't give you a good marriage. Warm fuzzies don't raise strong young men. Before we keep going to the show, guys, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They got everything you need for trapping. They've got copper trap tags. They've got stuff for hogs and bear and deer and all kind of fishing supplies and catfish baits and lure supplies and bottles, electric calls, and I bet manual claws for predator calling. Yeah, they got the stuff. But Alan's going to take care of you when you call up there. He's going to make sure that your order's right. He's going to make sure that it gets shipped out on time. He's going to make sure everything's the way it's supposed to be. And if you're looking for a company, which that is very odd in today's world, and we all know it, you need to be looking at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. I want to cover 3 points in 2 different directions today. What are 3 enemies of success? 3 enemies. We all know what enemies are. We could choose another word, but we know what enemies are. 1, men that want to be in a comfort zone. Now see, I've been at 53 years old, I've seen some strange things through my life. And one of the theories I have from watching people in different situations that I've come across in my life is wherever someone's comfort zone is, they will fight to the death to stay there. I'm going to give a very personal example. My mother was married to a psychopath. He was very abusive, very controlling, very mean. And she stayed with him for years. It wasn't for the money, because he had all kinds of degrees, but he didn't really like to work very much. So we kind of grew up like really poor. So it wasn't for the money. It wasn't for security. Why do I think that my mother, as an adult looking back, stayed with him for all those years with all that mental and physical abuse? That was her comfort zone because that's what she knew. I meet people all the time that get, their stomach gets knotted up every Monday morning when they go to work. They hate where they go to work. They hate what they do. But when you go somewhere else, you will see panic in grown men's eyes because that's their comfort zone. They know what's going to happen, even though it's not good. They know what their paycheck's going to be. They can justify that in ways of, I got to take care of the kids, because, you know, that's the only job in America that's left is the one that I hate. But they will spend 30 years in a job that steals their soul because it's their comfort zone. Comfort zone and conquer or be devoured, they don't go together, do they? Now, when you meet people that seem like are fearless, which I guarantee you they're actually not, but they do things that some people, other people look at and go, wow, I wish I could do that. Basically what those people are saying is, I could not get out of my comfort zone enough to take a risk to even try that, because what if something didn't go perfectly right? When you raise your kids to be super comfortable, is it any wonder that they stay in that job for 30 years that they hate? Because the comfort zone is all they know. That's all they know. Your son gets with an absolute toxic woman and stays with her no matter how miserable he is. Well, congratulations, parents. You taught him that that's okay to be in his comfort zone no matter how miserable it is. Same with daughters. People that are always struggling for money and the concept of getting a second job is just so foreign to them because, well, that's going to mess up my Netflix time. I may not be able to drink as much beer. Yeah, I know we struggle with money. We're dead up to our eyeballs. I don't know what we're going to do if the washer and dryer goes out because we can't buy one and our credit cards are slapped full. But, you know, someone may make fun of me if I go get a job delivering pizzas. I won't have the free time that I used to have. So I'll sit here and stew in this about being in money problems all the time because it's too uncomfortable for me to go out and do something. And the sad part is, most people know intellectually and logically and rationally that the comfort zone they will not try to get out of, even if knowing that if they get out of that comfort zone, their life will be much better off. See, like I say in my theory, people have problems, and if they start working to get out of those problems, which means they're out of their comfort zone, what I've noticed in life is most people will sabotage themselves to go back into that comfort zone. Man finally gets rid of a very toxic wife. Meets a very nice lady. Very feminine. Wants to be helpful. Wants to support him. All that. It's kind of boring compared to what he had before because it was constant conflict, constant anxiety, constant I got yous, constant fighting. And what does the man normally do? He'll cheat on his wife with another toxic woman because that's his comfort zone. Then he'll lose the good thing he has to get back in his comfort zone. Same thing happens with business, with money. I've seen this over and over and over again. So as a man, a real man, that's why you do not try to stay in a comfort zone. You do not do things that are all comforting, because it will destroy you. Second thing, learned helplessness. I don't know how many guys I've talked to over the years that want to start a business, but they've listened to other people, toxic people, family members that are toxic, degrade them, disrespect them, and put them down all the time. So the idea that they can actually rise above wherever they're at in life, these people have learned that they're helpless in whatever that is, and they don't know how to get out of it. They've learned that they can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I don't know all about how the taxes work. What if the new job has got a better, a worse boss than the one I have now? Instead of saving money, instead of just spending money like a kid, it makes you very, without any discipline, it makes you where you just go out and blow your money anyway. And then you go, see, I'm just a poor person. It's learned helplessness. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I've even caught myself with this a few times. And as soon as I catch myself with this, I try to step back and go, where is this coming from? Why do I believe this? Is it really true? And you know what? It never is. Because you can do the work. You can self-educate. You can do the discipline if you decide to. But if you're in this cycle of helplessness that you've learned, where other people must take care of you, again, I'm going back to conquer or be devoured, and parents raising soft children. See, the best example of this that we're all going to know. Well, I'll give you two, just to make pretty much everybody mad. When I watch a whole lot of Black Americans on TV, always talking about how the man's keeping them down, and the reason they can't get ahead is because of white people, and you hear some form of that over and over and over again. See, that is learned helplessness. They were taught from an early age that you're pretty much going to live in the hood, you're pretty much going to always be poor, and you're pretty much going to get ran over by all other races of people, and there's nothing you can do about it. And guess what? Those kids believe it, and they grow up to adults that believe it. That's learned helplessness. Same thing with women. All the pay gap, which is bullshit, but the pay gap. Men are keeping me down. They've been taught that since a young age. It's harder to get ahead as a woman. That's learned helplessness. It's a bad cycle. And in America today, this last one, the third one, oh my goodness, I see this everywhere. Everybody's looking for the path of least resistance on everything. From dating, to their wife, to their kids, to their job, to starting a business, to running a business, what they do for hobbies. Everybody's looking for the hack that they're going to be able to get more for less. Now, if you've been around this world for a little while, has that ever worked out before? Ever? No. You know it hasn't. Trying to always go for the path of least resistance. See, staying in a job you hate is a path of least resistance. Not setting boundaries as a man in your marriage, where your wife's running over you all the time and you're miserable, feel disrespected, like you're not wanted, she doesn't care for you, she doesn't lust for you, nothing. And you don't set boundaries and stand up for them, that's the path of least resistance. You know, this phrase I hear all the time, happy life is happy wife. Happy wife is happy life. Really? What if you're with a toxic person? What if you're not with a good woman? Her happiness is making you miserable. Is that really a good life for you? Is that a good way, an example, to teach your children? That it's the mom's role just to roll over and disrespect and denigrate their husband all the time? The path of least resistance will go, you just suck it up. The path of resistance is, you knock that shit off. You do not disrespect me in front of my friends or my family or my coworkers ever again. If you do, this will be the consequence. And when she does it again, because she will test you, whatever that is, you follow through. Even if that means showing her the front door. See, being like that is not the path of least resistance. It's the better path, but it's not less resistance. If you're having money problems as a man and you need to gather resources for your family, it is never the path of least resistance that works out for you. Maybe 1% of men come across something that is so easy and they're so talented that they get to do exactly what they always want to do with great love and bring in all kind of money. That's very unusual. Very, very, very unusual. How do you gather resources? The path of resistance, not least resistance. You've got to go conquer. You got to carve out yours. So if you catch yourself always trying to find the easiest way to get something, which you know doesn't work because it never has before. I mean, I fall for this too. It's human nature. Realize the great things that happen in your life are not because of least resistance. It's because you take on the resistance. Now, I want to swing these 3 points around for something else. And this is your physical body. Because I could be wrong, but I think men should be physically capable of doing what they need to do in life. I think they should be able to be physically capable to go get resources. They should be physically capable of defending what is important to them. And they should be physically capable of something as simple as playing with their kids or grandkids without almost having to go to the hospital. Or having sex with your wife where she's so worried you're about to have a heart attack because you're so bad out of shape. Or if the Lord help, you got to go up 3 flights of stairs and there's a good chance you're calling an ambulance before you get up there. Which is a lot of people, by the way. Until your body's right, the rest of your world's not going to be right. So these 3 things are also the same reasons people are so badly out of shape today. They're scared to death to get out of their comfort zone. I kind of grew up between sports in high school and the military. So I kind of grew up around physical fitness, going to a gym, running, doing stuff like that. It's not abnormal to me. I spent about 20 years not doing it, but it was not abnormal to me that that was a better way to go. I understand people go to the gym for the first time. I didn't grow up like that. I'm sure that's intimidating. One, if you're really, really, really out of shape, and you're just like I was, a card-carrying fat ass for many years, and you go into the gym and you're not used to it, one, you're not going to really know what to do, so that's going to be intimidating. And two, you're going to be worried what other people are thinking. So it could be very uncomfortable. Now, the reality is, at least everywhere that I've ever been at a gym or something like that, except for the military, which is very different than civilian life, when I see a very overweight guy in his 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, I don't care what it is, high school, come to the gym and try to figure it out and put the work in, I don't know of anybody that looks down on them. Now, most people in gyms don't have just full conversations with everybody they meet. But when I see someone that's in really bad out of shape putting in the work, they have no idea how proud I am that they're in there. There's a lady in Rockwood that I see probably once or twice a month. And she's a big girl. Big girl. And I see her walking with, she's got a water bottle on her belt. She's carrying like little 2 5-pound weights in each hand. And by God, she's getting after it like she's going to war on a road march. Every time I see her, every time, I almost want to pull the car over and like cheer. Because when you're that big of a girl on the side of the road, the way people are today, how uncomfortable do you think that is? Everybody's looking at you. We don't live in a big city. It's not like people are walking all over the sidewalks here. The reason I don't is because it'd probably come across as kind of creepy, I guess. So if you're not used to going to a gym and it's going to be uncomfortable, it's probably not what you're thinking anyway. With everything that you can get online, basic exercise programs, learning how to use the machines or the dumbbells or the barbells or stuff like that, you can do that in the comfort of your own home. Just pick one or two things and go do it. And when you don't know what else to do, leave. Figure out something else, add that in next week. One of the things that I definitely see in the gym is people don't know what it means to be outside of their comfort zone when they actually get to a level of fitness that they want to either get stronger, more muscular, or leaner. I see people all the time that have done the same thing for the last 2 years and look exactly the same and are no stronger. And I'm dumbfounded by this. It's because when they're working out, in their own life, I guarantee you, they've never had to do stuff that's very uncomfortable. So when a muscle starts burning, or it seems heavy, or you really got to dig in and grunt, it scares the bejesus out of them because it's such a foreign experience for them. So they stay in their comfort zone with the same weight, with the same reps for years after years, and they get frustrated. You cannot stay in the comfort zone. learn helplessness. I'm just a big bone guy. There's nothing I can do about it. I love you, brother, but you're full of shit. My whole family's fat. It's genetic. I love you, brother, but you're still full of shit. Well, I don't want to mess up my joints. I heard that's bad for you. Got a bad shoulder. Well, you got another arm, you got two legs, you got a core. Why aren't you working on those? Are you going to physical therapy to get that fixed? Learned helplessness also keeps people from being able to become the best that they need to be in their life to be able to be super functional. And in the fitness industry, people love the path of least resistance. You want to know what the path of least resistance is? Just watch influencers on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. What are the marketing commercials like for exercise programs? 3-minute abs, 10-minute total body workouts. Take this pill, don't change your diet, lose all your fat. Seventeen-year-old kids taking SARMs, and if you don't know what that is, it's a weird version of steroids that are just a little bit different, so they have their own classification. That's the reason in gyms, when most people talk about groups of kids working out, they call them SARMs goblins. Because the young people that has never had to be uncomfortable or never really had to work for anything or strive for anything, when they decide they want to either get bigger, more muscular, better looking when they're naked, whatever it is, they're looking for that path of least resistance. So they start taking stuff that destroys their own way to produce testosterone. In high school, path of least resistance. I'm not going to say who, but I've got a friend that's got a wife that takes basically meth from a doctor. And she's been doing it for years. And when I see this lady, which seems like a nice lady, it's not like she's super fit. So I've asked a few questions. She takes the drugs not so she can actually lose the weight that she knows she needs to lose. She takes the weight so she can eat crap all the time but not really gain that much weight. And the side effects from them stuff is pretty brutal. Path of least resistance. One of the biggest trends right now in the fitness industry is you don't need to lift weights. You want to know why people don't want to lift heavier weights? Because it's uncomfortable. It scares them. They're not good at it because they don't know how to deal with it. So the path of least resistance for the fitness industry is, well, we found a study that shows you can gain muscle with high reps as long as you go to failure. Okay, people will pick out the lightweight for high reps because it's easier, it's a path of least resistance, but they very rarely understand what that word failure means the way the study was done. Not when it starts burning, that's not failure. Not when it gets heavy, that's not failure. Failure in the sense scientifically is the muscle cannot contract anymore. But you know what I've never seen in the gym? Somebody hit failure that does high reps. I've never seen it. Ever. Because failure is obvious. You can't breathe. You're shaking like a beet puppy. You're sweating like a dog. You're grimacing like you just had an orgasm. And you can barely move a 20-pound dumbbell into a curl more than an inch. That's failure. But the path of least resistance is less weight. Because it's easy to sell. It lets people feel good. Even though they're just basically, after a while, once their body adapts to that, they're just going through the motions and nothing else is happening in their body. Path of least resistance. People don't want to do compound movements anymore because it's hard. Path of least resistance is very isolated cables and machines. See, the thing about changing your body is it's not going to be comfortable. Your body does not want to change. If you're 400 pounds and you can roll about as easy as you can walk, your body does not want to change that. It's going to fight you. If you're weak and you're trying to get stronger, your body is going to want to keep homeostasis with what's already going on, and it is going to fight you. One of the reasons, and I've said before, that I think weightlifting is so important for men in modern day America is if they get in the gym 3, 4, 5 days a week and they do stuff that is extremely uncomfortable, not only does that feel a need that I think genetically men have, that they've done something hard to make themselves feel better, it gives them the chance to learn how to be uncomfortable. So when you're in a job interview and things get sideways, you don't just panic and shut down. If you ever have to protect your family, and you're used to grinding out deadlifts, it's going to be very different from somebody that sits on a computer and types all day. Someone grabs a hold of you and you need to strain, you're not going to panic like someone is who's never strained. I don't think a man can truly be a man if he is always comfortable and he stays in a comfort zone. I think you'll eventually start degrading as a species. And I think that's what we see now as you look around our country. And if you don't want to lift weights, guys, if you want to get into something that will cause you to be just as uncomfortable, get into stuff with body weight movements. Try CrossFit. Hiking with a rucksack or a backpack for civilians. Try to do something at least a couple of times a week that you get very uncomfortable. Fill up a 5-gallon bucket with a handle on it with water and walk for 30 minutes. Switch hands. Don't let it touch the ground. Now, it's going to suck. After you do that a few times, you're not the same person. So these three enemies of success: comfort zone, learned helplessness, path of least resistance. As a man, you better treat these as your enemy, because they are. They absolutely are. Your job is to conquer. Your job is not to be conquered. Now go conquer something.